Broadcasting live from the Booze League headquarters. 16.0 ounces on the dial. The commish Wiley Withers. Coley Wyman.
Sandro Arevalo.
This is the Boozecast.
All right, let's get it started.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer.
Life and beer are very similar. Keep it chill for best results.
Yeah, I like that. That should be like on beer cans everywhere.
I feel like that's the kind of thing you'd see on a wooden sign at some tiki bar.
Kind of thing you'd see on a G-string.
Keep that chill for
like
best results.
In Venice Beach or something?
Maybe.
Yeah, on the back of the G-string. Wait.
I'll get an ABC store.
Wait, on the floss part?
Yeah, I guess you couldn't put that back there.
It'd have to be really small writing.
All right, you know what? I'm going to self-report a little bit here. I was in Italy back in 2007. Okay, this isn't, hey, look at me, kind of bougie nonsense here.
Well, look at me!
Not that kind of thing. But I ended up getting a massage at the spa we were in Tuscany. Okay. Turns out the Italians spend a lot of time massaging your glutes. And the woman who was going to massage me, she was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, gave me this G-string looking thing to put on ahead of the massage to make everything, you know, proper. And I'm like, all right, got it. You know, it was kind of like, it was paper, it was a G-string looking thing with a little bit of elastic paper.
Oh my God.
So,
that's amazing.
Not even thinking about it, I put the big part in the back.
What?
I'm
so
like,
your
schlong
was just hanging out, like with the floss?
Well, once
dude,
I put it on,
flossing
I'm like,
your balls?
I'm like, oh, this isn't how this was supposed
amazing.
To go on. So here I am, I'm like hurriedly trying to get it off without ripping it, and flip it around before this scorchingly hot young lady with the brightest blue Italian eyes I've ever seen who can't speak English comes barging in on me, like struggling to put on
your paper G-string.
Wow.
It was that day I learned I had never worn a G-string, but it's still a great massage. Like, I mean, nothing weird. It's just that whole moment trying to get ready for it, like, really put me out. I'm like, oh my God, no. I had been drinking a lot of wine that day, so. You know, what are you going to do?
Damn, dude. Sounds great.
Probably part of my fault. Welcome into draft. On that note, welcome into Draft 91, the G-string, paper G-string draft of record.
Hey, if anyone else has paper G-string stories out there, please let us know.
Yeah, I really, really want to hear those because I'd be stunned. If other people do, that's we're like in a brotherhood of some sort that I want to hear what that was all about. But speaking of paper... Coley's going to talk about a bartender who saved the day using a receipt.
Hell yeah.
Which is how bartenders roll. I have a hero of the week, and we're probably, you know, we used to have a heroes and losers segment. We might just switch over to just hero of the week. I'm finding a lot of good hero
it's
type
really nice
stories.
Positive. It's a positive outlook.
I like that too.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of in a positive type mode here, so we're going to double down on that. You might have noticed around the U.S. that BevMo is going through an evolution, and Sandro's going to touch on that a little bit. And I have, and there's a reason I have this, the weirdest booze laws currently in the U.S. But to do that, we're going to move on to what we're going to call, quote-unquote, air quotes, our beer of the day.
Beer is a fermented beverage made with cereals and water.
The beer of the day.
Nice. K-O-T-D.
Oh.
K-O-T-D.
I'll go ahead and go first as I'm pouring this. Oh, it looks pretty good, actually. I'm going to preface this by saying, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last one. I know the Unfiltered Gentlemen have brought it up, but regarding the bet we have going on, they considered making hard kombucha. Or punishment.
For what?
And
oh, for the
bet. For the Suns and Bucks bet.
Gotcha.
By the way, Suns are up 2-1.
So because of a bet that you made Sandro and I get roped into this.
Hey, you know what? It's the same for Flex and any guest he brings on.
Right. But Flex it's was guilty part by of the association.
Bet. Flex was on the show. He was part of the bet. He's in. Sorry, he's Coley. From Milwaukee or Milwaukee, whatever they say.
Oh, is that how they pronounce it? I've been saying it wrong the whole time.
No. Greg doesn't.
That's how. Yeah. That's well, that's how they pronounce it.
Milwaukee. Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry, Coley. You're by guilt by association, I guess.
You're roped in.
Yeah, you're. you know, but notice how hard I went against the butt chug, and that was for you, because I knew you wouldn't
that was a good call.
That.
Thank you.
So we argued against it and won in the court of bets.
Oh God!
Between Tug and the Booze League.
Is it really hard to get Judge Judy to adjudicate those?
Adjudicate, I love it. Yeah,
that's the right word, right?
It is.
She
it
would
is.
Chew us both yeah. out,
especially so. In that case.
We probably end up doing the butt chug just because we brought it up, because that's the kind of ruling that she does. Okay. Well, you shouldn't have mentioned it if you didn't want to do it. I opt for the butt chug. Okay.
Did you guys see that like meme where like Judge Judy's got a dump truck and she's just got this huge ass, dude? Like on, it's weirdly all ties together, but like,
wait, is this for real?
So knowing me, like the internet researcher I am, I googled it, you know, and yeah, she has a huge ass.
How about that?
You saw this on Instagram? Can you send it to me?
No, but you could, it's around. I mean, like I said, yeah, it was something that's just come and gone. I saw on the, what was it? The Fat Jewish at that Fat Jewish.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He posted it. It was just a story that just kind of came and went. And like, okay. I've seen it a couple times, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where it's at.
All right.
There you go.
Just know what Judge Judy's sitting on while she's sitting on the bench.
While she's adjudicating.
No, I love
she's
that.
She's abudicating is what she's doing. God damn. All right, so speaking of abudicating, let's go to Boochcraft, which is the hard kombucha. We're all doing hard kombuchas today, which is would have been the punishment, but here we are doing it. Yeah, suck on that.
That's just how we roll, yo.
I tell you what.
Gentlemen.
So we got, what I have today is a blackberry sage hard kombucha from Boochcraft Organic Kombucha. It's 7% on the ABV.
Alcohol.
This is a midsummer bounty of sweet, jammy blackberries, earthy sage, and bright, tart lemons. This liquid Art Lab elixir is the perfect porch pounder. And they have art from a guy named Andrew McGranahan, which kind of looks like the old, like almost like a Jimi Hendrix.
That's so cool.
Wow, that's really cool. Oh,
that's rad.
Like I would literally, I would put this poster up in my house somewhere because it's freaking dope. And it, like, it really kind of calls on the old, like, I don't know, kind of rock kind of concert posters and stuff. I
love that. Yep.
So let me bounce on into this. That is remarkably easy to drink. It's got a bit of the sourness that, I don't know if you guys have had kombucha that isn't hard.
That's all I like, really.
I drink it a lot.
Oh, yeah,
actually,
you posted a picture.
Or I did.
Yeah.
I go through phases. Because
they were talking, I think, well, you guys were talking about the punishment, and I think Greg, like, hates kombucha. I think on his last episode.
If you listen to the past couple podcasts, he's, yeah.
And ooh, okay. I really enjoy regular kombucha because I don't know, it reminds me of, like, pickled things, I think.
What's your favorite flavor?
Cayenne cleanse.
Oh, that's a good one. Wow.
Oh, it
just going
it
for it.
Does
going for the fucking the burner, the worm.
Oh, it
burner.
Does the job. Yeah. Yeah. Don't. I hope you like. Don't go to Disneyland the
fucking
next day and drink one of those like the day before. Yeah. Your stomach gets a little. Yeah.
Oh man.
I told Coley to put some toilet paper in the freezer if she drank one of those.
Oh, that's a good call, man. That's like I saw a movie once with Marilyn Monroe. I think it's the 7-Year Itch where she keeps her like underwear, or her bras in the freezer.
Really?
Yeah, dude, it's amazing. And I was like, what? It's like a black and white movie. Here's this broad like living on her own, and she keeps her underwear in the
really
freezer for when
that?
It's like super hot. Yeah, and she puts it on. It's amazing.
I never thought about that, bud.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
Wisdom of the ancients, I guess.
Hot girl summer for thick-thighed ladies. Like, that's something,
know,
you know?
Right? Come
yeah,
on.
Get your cool underwear, your cool little boy shorts, and your bra. All right.
Damn. There you
so
go.
So anyway, so I do get a little bit of sage and blackberry out of that.
Thanks.
I get a little malt on it, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, a little malty.
which actually surprised me a little bit. There's a bit of straw taste in it. I don't know why, but it's there. And one of the things, so I do drink regular kombucha occasionally. It's not like, you know, a regular rotation, but when I really want to feel like I'm being healthy, I'll get some of that. And the one thing I don't like, and I think Flex mentioned it on the Unfiltered Gentleman, is that there's like some type of like pulp or something, yeasty kind of thing down in the bottom. And I generally do this. I get shit for it for beers, but I generally drink down to like, just I leave about like an inch or a quarter of an inch. I do the same with that because I'm just not, I can't even drink pulpy orange juice. Yeah. So I'm just out.
So the one I do that I drink, I like the ginger lemon. There's like a carrot something one and then the cayenne cleanse. Those don't have that weird thing. It's just like
that's good.
Almost like sediment, like just slight sediment.
Yeah, almost like sediment.
If you just turn it upside down lightly before you drink it twice, or like open it, it mixes in. It's not like
Sam's. Yeah, like it says not to shake it, but like especially after you take a sip or two and you give it a little room, you can give it a good swirl, and like that shit kind of dissipates, and you just pound it. It's the good stuff. Actually, you want to drink that stuff, but you just need to break it down so it's even with the whole drink.
The reason I like the hard kombucha is I never see that stuff. So I don't know if it's just better filtering.
Nice.
The alcohol kills it.
There you go.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But
I love it.
I'm good with this, actually. This is very light. You know, a lot of kombuchas are very sour.
Yeah.
And they got like, you feel like you're drinking a healthy drink when you drink kombucha.
For sure.
I guess that's part of the attraction as well. You feel like, hey, look at me go. This just is what it is. This is just a drink that tastes like blackberry, a little bit of sage. Super good. I like it. 7%. Nice.
Wow,
I'm
in. 7. That's good.
Yeah.
Cole, you want to go next?
Sure. I am drinking Strange Beast Ginger Lemon and Hibiscus.
Strange.
Nice.
It has a 3.74 on Untappd.
Alcohol. Oh, sorry. Sound like it was an alcohol.
Well,
wait for it.
7% alcohol.
Alcohol. There you go.
But it does have almost a tug rating, 3.74. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
It's almost at the tug line.
Almost there, just shy of the tug line.
Just shy of the tug line.
And it says, perched atop a spine of... Oh, my God. No, I was right. Whew. Let's start over. Perched atop
a single letter.
A spine of spice, the citrus jaws, they chatter, and pretty blooms, don't be fooled. It might be you thereafter. And then I think it's because it's supposed to look like, feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
You know, on the can.
Cool. There you go.
Little Shop of Horrors. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm gonna try this. Contains 19.5% juice is what it says. It's weird.
Damn.
It's not terrible. The lemon actually makes it really tart.
You got a tart face.
Mm-hmm.
Tart.
Wow.
Whoa, oh my gosh, I wish you could see this at home, people.
Tart AF.
Have you ever seen those bitter beer commercials back in the day? The Keystone, like...
Bitter as beer facing.
Yeah,
that
tastes like something that would be a product of a gypsy curse.
I just, I don't know, I really dislike hard kombuchas. I love regular kombucha.
Nice.
And that one does not take it.
I didn't want to ruin it for you, Coley, but I had tried it before. It's not that great. I'll be honest with you, that one's not the best.
Before we started the show, I'm like, Sandra, have you tried this one? He's like, I've tried that brand before. It's a little earthy. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. No, this is not earthy. Man. This is like, let me drink a lemon from the actual citrus fruit. Let me just squeeze a lemon
up,
in my mouth.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Way to get on Coley's back there.
It's
well,
okay.
Well
I mean, look, I'm gonna drink
what
I can.
It for before, like,
and if I pour some out for the homies, I pour some out for the homies later. It's fine. Hey, I'll do my best.
If you don't pour it out for a little puppet, who will?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so I went with the giant with the J, which is pretty cool. And I guess this outfit is out of Colorado. And this one kind of jumped out at me. I was sitting there looking at all the different ones. There's tons of varieties. This one was Taco Tuesday. It's pineapple and jalapeno.
Ain't nothing
so,
about tacos.
I know, dude. I know you almost got that one, Wiley. It almost became a thing. Wiley was super close to getting this one at home, people, but he didn't because he tried something similar at the bottle shop he was at.
I think what I literally texted Coley at the time, if you can taco, you should taco, I think is what was my feeling on the matter. But then I got my taco preempted by a taco adjacent type kombucha, and I went with something else.
Hey, oh yeah. First off the bat, I've had a lot of kombuchas. I'm into kombuchas. I've drank them since I was 18. I mean, literally, like.
Oh, so you're a pre-kombucha.
I drink them all the time. Yeah, like nice. Up in Berkeley, they're super popular. Friends make them. I have friends that have the mushrooms that make them at home. Okay, so fresh off the bat, this one's really good. I love how rounded it is. It's not too acidic. It's not too fucking malty. Actually, it's super drinkable. It's only 5%. Highly suggest it. Wow, that's really good.
Right, sorry.
Really
do you get the spice too?
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot. That's the one thing that, thank you for bringing that up, because I'm getting everything else good. You know, jalapeno sometimes gives you that like green taste. It's not hot necessarily, but it's the skin or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm getting
I
a little of that now. Okay. But I'm not like getting a lot of like the heat.
So you just get some of the pepper flavor, a little, the spice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, maybe each batch is different. I don't know. Okay, pineapple and jalapeno go together like tacos and Tuesday. This is a crossover collaboration from the produce aisle and sure to draw a crowd and send everyone home happy. Taco Tuesday is a bright, snappy, and tropical and subtle but satisfying whisper of spice. Golden pineapple, crisp jalapeno engage in a delicate dance between sweet and heat with refreshing precision. Right? That's what a little something from Giant had to say about it. And again, I picked something with zero ratings, man. It has 13 check-ins. Nine ratings, but there's no percentage. I was looking down. Someone gave it a 4. Someone gave it a 2.5. Someone gave it a 3.5. So I don't know, man. Use your imagination on that one. But it's kind of cool. Drinking some weird shit that isn't fucking mainstream. Look at me.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Right on the Sanchito out there. Well, you know, I'm glad we did this little journey of like we had ciders, canned cocktails, and some kombucha. You know what? I haven't really dove into the hard kombucha. I had some at one of the beer festivals that we were doing. I think it was a Surf and Suds.
I think you're right.
We sponsor SurfBeerFest, by the way, .com. SurfBeerFest.com. The next one's coming up August 14th on Carpenter Estate Beach. As always, Booze League is sponsoring that, so come by and say hi to all of us and taste the beers of 80 breweries and kombucheries, whatever they call those, and cideries and others there on the beach. But she came in like, it was kind of a, I didn't know it was a trade-off, but she came in and I don't remember who was working the booth, but they're like, hey, she wants this hat. And I'm like, okay, it's like, I don't know, it's $20 or whatever that was. And like, I didn't realize, and she's holding a bottle. I thought that was just her bottle, but she's like, held out the bottle. I'm like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. yeah, please. No, nice. Here, take another hat. The, like, I think I actually took her, at the end of the day, I took that whole booth, another like two hats. I'm like, here, sorry, good I didn't mean to be like
nice.
That guy. But that was, I think that was Burning Embers, and that was the first time I had hard kombucha. It was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
So this is the first time I revisited it.
It's a nice little change. Hey, big shout out. The one of my favorite ones is Juneshine, the blood mint orange. Blood orange mint, sorry. Blood orange mint from Juneshine is literally my favorite one. I didn't do it this time because I wanted to venture out and get something different. But I just wanted to give that one a shout out, man. Like literally you will not go wrong. Pretty much anything Juneshine makes. They make a painkiller one that's all tropical. And then they do a hopical citrus. It's like made kind of with like, it's made with hops. It's really good. It's
bomb. Interesting.
Yep.
I'll have to try them because I don't like this one that I have.
Yeah.
Are you switching up to a beer?
No.
Are you going to tough it out?
I'm going to drink as much as I can. And like I said, I'll pour some out for the homies later. I mean, right.
There ain't no bitch in her blood.
That's right.
Right on, goalie.
Booze League Radio.
I want to get into this article because I like, you know, when you open Google and you're going to type something in and it gives you news stories sometimes, like you scroll down. Well, this was like number one on the thing. And I read the title and it says Bartender's Fake Receipt Saves Women from Being Hit On by Creep. And I was like, well, I hate creeps. This is very intriguing.
Tell me more.
So it's a New York Post article by Jesse O'Neill and it was published on June 20th. So, give or take a couple weeks ago. A Florida bartender saved two women from being hit on by a creepy customer by passing them a note disguised as a receipt. And it went viral online for the quick thinking move. The St. Petersburg drink slinger Max Gutierrez shot to internet fame last week when a woman named Trinity Alley shared on Twitter how he helped her and a friend fend off the unwanted pickup artist. When the customer, when the other customer repeatedly hit on the women, the Hawaiian shirt wearing barkeep handed Allie a note that looked like a receipt, but it read, "If this guy is bothering you, put your ponytail on the other shoulder and I will have him removed. He's giving me the creeps." And she said that the man was harassing her friend and her, and the bartender passed the note, acting like it was a receipt. She said, legit type of bartender that everyone needs. And they took like a picture of him after they ejected the guy from the bar, and they took a picture of the bartender.
They got
like,
a picture of him.
Yeah,
they got a picture of the
with
guy
with the note. Yeah,
I thought they got a picture of the guy that was a creep, and I'm like, oh, I want to see who this guy was.
So apparently, in a follow up tweet, the woman explained, I guess that would be Allie, that Gutierrez yelled, "You need to get the fuck away from these girls who are clearly not interested," before kicking him out. And yeah, she clarified that she did have him pose after the incident, so people were like, didn't think it was fake.
Damn.
And apparently, like, it more than 200,000 people liked the viral tweet, many of them leaving comments praising the smooth mixologist. "Not all heroes wear capes, some wear Hawaiian shirts," said one appreciative woman.
That's
and
really cool.
4 days after the tweet went viral, Gutierrez tweeted that the sleazy patron came back to the bar for a beer, but the barman refused to serve him.
That's what amazes me. And Sandro, you being a bartender, maybe you've experienced this as well. You know, you get people in there acting just shitty.
Yeah.
And then they leave and they probably feel bad the next day. They're like, oh man, that sucks. Well, I'm just not going to think about it. I'm going to put it out of my head. And then they come back in like 4 or 5 days later.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, no.
Or the worst, that sometimes they don't remember, dude. They're just like weirdos that like literally they're living in their own fantasy world too. And that shit's hard to deal with too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No,
but unfortunately, well, that's really cool. That's smart. And
well, and I feel like more bartenders should, like, we should raise awareness for that. Like,
yeah,
if you see that women are being harassed, or any customer, really, any customer, I don't want to just limit it to women, but if you see any customer being harassed, do the right thing. Ask, you know, like how he did it. It was so like on the down low, and he did the right thing, and they got that guy kicked out, and the women were able to enjoy themselves and have a good time and not be hit on by this creep that just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, right.
It's important.
Yeah, they ought to be able to go out and just
absolutely
have a drink. I mean, who knows? Maybe they hadn't seen each other in a while. Maybe they have friends catching up, and they got this guy over there like ruining it.
Even if they're just doing like brain hemorrhage shots and having a college experience, like who cares? Like get the creepy guy away. Like I don't know. I think we need more awareness for that. And that was, I thought it was really cool.
Absolutely. Well,
so me and Sandro kind of experienced a situation like that a little bit. we went out to a local bar. And, you know, like, it's the kind of bar that kind of conveys itself as a little bit higher class than, well, not higher class, but, like, definitely not a dive, I would say.
Not a dive,
and
for sure.
There was a gentleman, maybe one seat down from Sancho, who was just, he was on something and also shit-faced. This, all, by the way, was at 11:15 in the morning. and the dude kept muttering shit and kept saying shit at Sancho, and God bless Sandro over here. He just kept staring straight ahead, like didn't put up with it. But the bartenders kept serving him. Like these were, this is the case of the bartenders who were not that guy.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That guy would come back and back and back. And like me and Sandro were like, all right, let's get the fuck out. We probably could have had another three. Like,
oh, I totally would have chilled. Like I lost my appetite, dude. I had a plate of nachos. I wanted to drink some beers and hang out. Like I totally lost my appetite. Didn't want to buy any more beer. I just wanted to cash out and fucking leave. And I made it a point to give him like literally my whole plate of nachos because the dude was like in our ear. But what are we gonna do? Like fight him? Like you know what I mean?
Is it up to us to,
like,
to handle
the
situation?
Like,
well, the bartender should be aware.
Yeah,
they should be aware and they should see what's going on.
And it's not like it's late at night when it was super busy.
It's a weird place. It's a weird part of town. Pierpont's like that, dude. Like you know what I mean?
I agree, but.
Not to call them out, but like there are other beach areas that are like that where there's just these guys that come in. I worked at a bar like that. When I worked at the Lookout, oh man, it's weird. You have to like kind of connect with these guys in a certain way so that way they don't fucking beat everyone up. You're like, it's a hard job, dude, dealing with those people. But at the same time, those guys didn't do anything. They just let it happen, which was lame.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's cool.
Guess what? That guy's going back because he knows there's no accountability.
Like, yeah.
He knows he can just go in there.
Oh, yeah.
All, like,
for sure.
And so, like, I love that's my favorite part of the story is that one, the bartender stepped up and in a way that didn't cause extra drama and nonsense. He didn't assume that these ladies were helpless. Just like, hey, I'm here if you need something to happen.
Right. And genius, move your ponytail to the other shoulder.
Yeah, like,
yeah, conscious of the situation, super subtle, right? Exactly. Yeah, so, that's right.
A lot of respect for that guy.
Yep.
Absolutely.
There was
So real quick then, do we want to do how was your week? Or do we want to just move on from it?
Just move on.
I mean, okay. Either way. Yeah. I was going to shout out real quick. There's a bar at the tavern, and they have signs in the bathrooms that, like, it's a code where you could, like, ask for Angie at the bar. And that means, like, if you're on a date, especially for a woman, and you're maybe it's a Tinder date or something, and you're, like, with someone and you don't like them or you think things are going weird, you could ask for this person at the bar, and they'll get you an Uber out of there. So it's kind of like an interesting thing that they do along the same kind of lines what you were talking about. It's like bar awareness. Like we're in a society that unfortunately preys on people, and we all need to like watch each other's backs, right? So cool shit like that is definitely like where our heads should be, and like it's cool to see younger kids and stuff thinking that way, you know.
Well, and it's cool to put those kind of I don't know what you call them in place, those procedures in place.
Right.
Whatever it is, like it's good. They're thinking ahead to go, look, this happens here. Cause like that place you're talking about, I'm sure a lot of first dates happen there. A lot.
Right.
Tinder dates, everything. You know, late night drunkenness, that place is open late. So that's awesome that they're looking out.
Now pouring
the Booze Cast.
All right. So hero of the week, as I teased in the intro, we're getting away from the heroes and losers. We're just going to focus on the heroes, the people that need to be shouted out. Look at a little love to find out or for these guys and what they did. And in this case, I'm probably going to get a little bit of pushback on this initially, but you guys got to hear me out. Our hero of the week for Draft 91 are the Dodgers. The whole organization of the Dodgers. And I'm not trying to get all sportsy or whatever. Dodgers are actually one of the more hated franchises along with the Yankees and like all these bigger finance teams that have these massive caps for players and whatnot. People hate them. But follow me down this road as to why they are the hero for Draft 91. So recently the Cubs came to LA to face the Dodgers. This is the first time the Cubs had faced the Dodgers this season. Former Dodger Jock Peterson, he played for the Dodgers for 6 years and also won the World Series with him last year, is on the Cubs. Obviously, his first game at Dodger Stadium, so the Dodgers were able to award him that night, as a Thursday night, with his World Series ring. But and here's why the Dodgers, their whole organization, are heroes. He wasn't the only Peterson brother to get a ring that night. The Dodgers surprised Jock's older brother, Champ Peterson.
Champ and Jock?
Yep.
Nice. That's amazing.
They
Champ and Jock.
They surprised Jock's older brother, Champ, with an official World Series ring as well. Champ has Down syndrome, and the team has always treated him as an honorary teammate. In fact, on Jock's bobblehead night, Champ was the one who threw out the first pitch to his brother Jock on his own bobblehead night.
That's nice. Adorable.
Champ is often in the locker room. All the guys got to know him. Like, he was super cool with all the guys. And when the Dodgers won the World Series, Jock says, just before I can take in how surreal that moment was. So this is literally in the locker room right after they won. Just before I could take in how surreal that moment was, I saw my brother Champ across the room, goggles on, pouring champagne on his head right along with the guys. Of course, he's not a player, but it was just natural to see Champ there. Our executive VP, Lon Rosen, went out of his way to go find Champ and bring him down to the locker room to celebrate. So Champ got his ring. Yeah, he's been there since the beginning, and they felt that he'd become enough of a part of the team that he'd earned a token. That's of the World so Series cool. celebration. So,
oh, man, that makes my heart swell. That is so sweet.
Yeah, like little things like that, man. We need more of stuff like that in the world, you know? Like it's just absolutely super cool. And Champ actually was interviewed on Sportsnet, you know, the Dodger channel essentially. Uh-huh. And he's like showing his ring and he's like, dude, I'm so happy to be Jock Peterson's older brother. You know, like those guys are arm in arm. So it's really good little hero right there. The Dodgers got our hero of the week for draft
nice.
91.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the story that tugs at the heartstrings right there.
Well, I mean, speaking of heroes, we talk about the bartender out there. Jeez, you know, move your ponytail, and we got Champ. So it's a hero's kind of day.
The commish. Coley Wyman. Sandro Alevalo. The Booze Cast.
Is BevMo going to be a hero in this story, Sandra?
It's interesting that I can tie that in a little bit if you guys stick with me here for a second.
Oh, all right. We're in for the journey, man.
So BevMo's, they've been a little bit of a topic of conversation. We get a lot of our beers from there, you know. We've shopped there for years. I think they're kind of interesting. They went to this format where they started like putting all the different beer styles together instead of like all the brands together. And I don't know, man. I always thought that was weird. But BevMo's are an interesting place, and especially coming from someone who sells beer, not just even a consumer. They've always been, I don't know, man. At first, like, they were great, and now there's just so much competition. So what happened next, right? Like, you might be noticing that your BevMo's are going a little remodeling, and all of a sudden there's coolers, there's pizzas, there's cheese. Shit, you could even get toiletries. You can get pretty much almost anything you want in there for, like, a party. I was taking a walk through the aisles of the Ventura BevMo that recently just underwent a remodel and is now under the operation of GoPuff. And it's a full-blown, like, really high-end liquor store. It's got, like, really nice, like, munchies, and it's got everything you would need for, like, a party. It's even got, like, the, you know, you can do the beer pong cups that are hexagonal. yes,
I like the way Sandra those. Said it better.
Hexagonal. yeah, man, it's kind of it was weird. And so over in the corner, yep, way in the corner, there's beer. there's the beer still. And so, you know, they definitely like did a big remodel. They cut back on a lot of the SKUs that they carry. Luckily, Firestone's still in the mix. We got a lot of our SKUs still in, but man, they did an
extensive
change.
So they focused
more
on the Mo part of the BevMo.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So, okay, so this is kind of new to me, man, and I wanted to get a little info on this and just kind of explain it. I'm going to go through it briefly as to what GoPuff is. GoPuff is a consumer goods of food delivery service, right? So they're basically operating in over 650 cities in the United States, and they're killing it. They basically started out in Philadelphia by these two kids from Drexel University. Yeah, shout out to Philly, right?
Yeah, shout out to Philly.
Yakir, my heart.
Yakir Gola and Rafael Ayayeshif started GoPuff. Originally on-demand hookah delivery service, but it expanded to delivering foods and goods typically sold in convenience stores. The company began offering delivery services in Pennsylvania before moving to other cities that include Seattle, Boston, Phoenix, Atlanta, and now Ventura. Simi Valley?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, dude, it's all happening. It's like all different. So
I want to know what kind of pizzas they have. You said pizza, and I'm really intrigued. I ate pizza
it's
3 days
whatever you would buy
it,
see in a store, like DiGiorno's or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, it's just pizza. I mean, DiGiorno's just came to the top of my mind, but it's that kind of thing.
Just like frozen
maybe
pizza.
Maybe it's a Screaming Sicilian thing. I don't know.
Okay.
So in 2016, man, these guys were killing it. They're way ahead of their time. They raised $8.25 million in this business. Like, they get all kinds of investors coming in. And that was 2016. By 2019, the company had, like, already raised $750 million. And it just kept blowing up, bro. Like, seriously, like, they're in Forbes 2017, 30 and under for tomorrow on e-commerce. And literally, it's just the hits kept on coming, man. Like, they fucking basically, the company announced that they had raised $380 million in funding. And
damn.
they bought BevMo. And this is
they
bought the whole thing.
They bought BevMo this last year for $350 million.
God damn.
So talk about two guys that literally started renting hookahs, delivering them in Philadelphia, and now are net worth like, dude, it's like insane, dude. They're like 1.15 billion with a B dollars, bro. It's insane to me.
I need a few of those for that.
Right?
So here's the thing. Like, I'm gonna just I have a couple questions. Like, I've never heard of these guys. Is like it an East Coast thing to like get stuff delivered to you all the time? Because like besides the pandemic, like I had pizzas delivered to me in the past. Maybe I had friends that have like apps that use that, but that's pretty new. That's like within the last couple of years, man. Like,
I wonder
is that
if it's
really
like,
a big thing?
I wonder if it's a bigger thing in the winter when it's harder to like get out or people don't want to leave their house because it's cold AF. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering if it started as more of like
a
winter
call.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. And winter nights are pretty brutal, right?
Then it became a, it's super brutal back east. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I mean, they get hardcore snow like New York. It gets real bad.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a conversation with someone from New York about this exact thing this week. Because we're talking about like innovations during the pandemic where more online stuff, more delivery, like things have become more streamlined.
Sure.
Essentially. And we kind of talked a little bit about places on the East Coast where, you know, in California, we're California kids, right? California is, especially Southern California, the more people it builds out.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, it builds up. So like you go to New York, delivery's freaking huge because in a square mile, you've got so many people because right. everything goes up. And I'm sure Philadelphia, like we were talking about New York specifically, but I feel like Philadelphia is probably similar.
Yeah, I mean, there's like burbs, you know, there's like a lot of suburbs of Philadelphia too. Like Elkins Park and stuff like that. It's like, it's literally like right there. But yeah, I mean, Philadelphia itself is... It's a pretty hustle and bustle city. It's like LA.
I bet, yeah. It's a major metropolis, right?
Yeah.
So here's a question. And it's, I'm glad that you brought that up, Wiley. Do you guys think that GoPuff would have raised as much money if it wasn't for the pandemic? Like literally they bought BevMo for $350 million. Like did all of a sudden they were on an upward trajectory, right? Did the pandemic just push them over the top with investors being like, go, go, go?
It could have because, I mean, look, we're still in a pandemic. We're on the way out, right? There's like a light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still in the midst of it. And I still enjoy doing delivery. I somehow feel like, I don't know. I don't know how I became like busier during the pandemic, but I feel like my lack of time. I don't know if it's
even with
Nick
not having to go to work, you felt like
you
got busier.
In time.
Yeah, I just even though like I'm not commuting, I just I don't know. With Nick maybe working so much and me having to pick up like a ton of the slack at home,
sure,
like everything, you know, like cooking, cleaning, dishes, laundry, like pretty much everything I take care of now. And I wonder if maybe that's what it is. And then going back to the gym and trying to, you know, juggle all of that, I'm like, oh, I'll just get my groceries delivered, or I'll do like where I order it, pay for it, and I go to Albertsons and I drive up and they bring it to me and I go. Like, I don't have to go in the store.
Right.
I don't know.
That's all new stuff. You're right.
It's,
like, yeah.
And it's like something I want to continue even when this is behind us.
Yeah. It's big business.
Here's what I wonder, just to answer your question, Sancho, because here's the business side of the commish kicking in here. So they invested that amount of money in BevMo, you know, and that did the money that they got, was that, where did that go? Was that investors in their company?
No, it was like big capital, dude.
So
like
it was like a
VC money.
Kind of thing, like a venture capital kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
totally.
So what I wonder is if that was before or after they chose to buy BevMo. And here's the only reason I ask that is that, brick and mortar retail stores are having a lot of issues right now. You're like, you know, Pier 1 imports gone.
Oh, gone.
You look at all the brick and mortars that are leaving. So what my question is about that, what my thought is about that is now, is BevMo going to have a more robust delivery style business now that GoPuff is involved? Or did the investors invest in GoPuff and what their business model was, and then they took that and bought BevMo? And
right.
I don't know the answer to that, but it makes me wonder, because that'd be great. Like if BevMo really ramped it up, like, dude, because I mean, you think about all the locations BevMo has across the country, that could really, like, state lines is usually one of the biggest obstacles to shipping beer. And like, literally, I'm going to talk about why in just a second.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that gives them little nexuses, I don't know, whatever the fuck.
I would imagine so. I mean, honestly, you know what I mean? I want to speculate that literally, like, you hit it the nail on the head with the brick and mortar. Why would you have one unless it was functioning somehow? They're going to have to, like, find a cause for the mean to, like, have a brick and mortar. It's going to deliver. It's going to make money. It's going to have to be. Why else wouldn't it be in a warehouse somewhere where they can just ship it and not have to have that interface?
So, look at everything closing totally down right now that's brick and mortar. Like, it's. Yeah.
They're kind of smart,
man.
I
enjoy shopping. I just haven't enjoyed it as much with everything going on. So I can 100% say the pandemic had an effect on me wanting to go in person. But like my favorite pastime is like shopping, going in, whether it's alcohol, fucking Target, like Costco. You know, I love
retail therapy.
Yeah, I just like I don't mind going places in person. I like to see things in person rather than online.
Yeah, but Coley, think about what you just said. You're like, whether it's alcohol from Target or whether I get it from Costco. Like, BevMo was not the first one, right?
Absolutely not.
No, I just said whether it's alcohol or Target or Costco. Sure.
Gotcha. But I guess my point is, like, you know, if it wasn't for having to go buy specifically for the BoozeCast and stuff, you get your stuff from Tavor for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got a better variety. Right?
I honestly, that's a good point, too. If it wasn't for Firestone for work... Or for Biz League, I wouldn't go to a BevMo. Why would I go to a BevMo? You know, honestly, like, I just wouldn't. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anyone's and BevMo's feelings out there. Like, a lot of those people are really cool, and they're great business for me.
We get kegs from there, yeah.
Kegs, 100%.
There you go. I mean, I don't know. That'd be interesting. Maybe I would
Total Wine.
If I
wanted something obscure, I go to Total Wine. BevMo, same. I felt, always had the normal, just like, stuff I could find, whatever. And if I really want to get crazy, I'll go to Wade's Wines. I really want to find something off the wall.
I guess so we all go through phases, man. You know? Like, there were years probably where I would be stoked on going to BevMo, and just, I guess maybe it's different
what's now. What's this? Have I seen this? What's this? What's this? ABV's really high. What's this? You know, like, you find stuff at BevMo, but now I'm like,
I've got a shopping cart full of a hangover tomorrow. Thanks.
Oh, God.
It's just not the same. So, I'll be real curious to see where GoPuff goes. With the BevMos.
If you want to check out one, I mean, because they're all going to change over. The one in Ventura is pretty much done. And literally half of the store is like a store, like a convenience store. The other half is kind of a BevMo. It's interesting, man. But, you know, I was looking at numbers. Beer's still selling. We're up. It's doing well. So keg sales are really up right now, too, man.
We just blew our keg.
Thank you, Nick and Nicole.
Oh, shit. There you go.
We literally got an 805 over 4th of July, and we blew it already.
Oh, man.
On Sunday, oopsies. Happens.
I told Nick that I need 24 hours notice, so.
Oh.
Yeah, get a lager going, man. I'll show up for that.
Hell yeah.
Do some floating with a lager.
That's what we want next.
I wear a plaid in my beard.
Plaid like and tough skins.
That's right. Tell you what.
League Radio.
So nice. Speaking of Tavor and beers and whatnot. So we did a Tavor giveaway on the Booze League Instagram at Booze League. You can find us also at Twitter at Booze League, facebook.com/Booze League. Anyways, you can find us on the socials. And the guy who won was a Florida man.
Nice, dude. That's amazing. Florida man.
But here's the thing is that it took me a long time and I could not find any easy documentation as to whether we could actually give him a gift card that he could use for Tavor. Because all the alcohol laws are super weird about shipping things. Like, sometimes it has to be a retailer shipping it to there. There needs to be three levels. Like, I mean, there's a lot going on with these alcohol laws, and it took a number of days to make sure that he could, in fact, get that. And shout out at Awesome Ray Cluda. Either way, cheers, Raymond, because he also said, hey, just send 200 of the prize to me and send another 100 to Thai Craft Beer Girl. But here's the thing. She, in her state, could not get anything from Tavor. Was not eligible.
So,
I mean, shout out to him for giving, spreading the love with the beer. But And I just got my first Tavor shipment last week, which I'm really excited about. Joined the Tavor clan, as you can say. But I started thinking, like, okay, well, alcohol laws are kind of all over the place because the federal mandates on that and, like, any type of cohesion on what is really at the state level. So I'm like, well, what are the weirdest state laws that we have regarding booze? And I found a few different things. And some of them, like in California, like they list as the weird stuff. Like we're like, oh, well, yeah, of course. That's, of course, how it is. Like taking a growler into a brewery, you can't have some other brewery's logo on it.
Right, like, right. You know,
so stupid.
In California, we're just used to it. So I'm sure a lot of these people in the states that I read this are like, well, yeah, duh, of course we wouldn't do that. But to us, these are new. So I'm going to start, I'm just going to skip through and just hit some of the more interesting ones throughout the country. We'll start alphabetically at Alaska. In Fairbanks, and this has changed, but in Fairbanks, it used to be illegal to feed a moose an alcoholic beverage.
Fair
I'd
enough.
Like, I'd like to know the story that led to it being, you know, happening and then repealed. Maybe they got, you know, maybe they ended up behaving themselves.
They went to the judge and like, damn, it got that moose drunk again.
Son Random of a monk. Why'd you get Jake drunk? He's the worst moose to get drunk. Also, a brewery can only pour 36 ounces of beer per person per day. No music, dancing, or games,
Damn, which
is very weird for us here in California. It's also illegal to become visibly intoxicated in a bar. So you better be able to hold your booze if you're going out drinking.
Poker so you're face. Basically allowed 2 pints, 4 ounces.
Yeah, in Alaska.
Then can you just like leave and then come? Oh, that's per day. So you just have to hit up a bunch of different bars.
I guess, but you can't be visibly drunk. So, there are some limitations. Which, what are you going to do when it's dark
Take
for
me
like
to jail.
20 hours a day? That's like
I would be drunk horrible. All the time.
Jeez.
Off to Arkansas, where half of my family, my dad's side, is from. Arkansas. It's illegal to sell any alcohol anytime on Sundays anywhere in Arkansas. Buy your shit on Saturday or just go without. That's probably why there's no NFL team there.
Okay.
Can you imagine like waking up on Sunday and you're like, shit, I forgot to get the champagne for mimosas and then you have like, nothing?
Damn, I'm out of vodka for Bloody Mary. Son of a...
Boo.
Ouch.
If you're a minor convicted of underage drinking in that state, not only do you have to pay a fine, you have to write an essay about alcohol.
I would write the lyrics from Tom T. Hall's song.
Yeah. Wow. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I would write, I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. That would be my essay about beer. I would write all the lyrics down.
Nice.
Actually, that'd be a pretty good essay.
Thank you.
It certainly sums up my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
California, I am going to list one thing that surprised me. Well, two things. So in California, something you may not know, it's illegal to display, Sandra, you actually might know this.
Ooh.
Illegal to display alcohol within 5 feet of a cash register if the store is a gas station.
Wow. Okay. Jeez.
5 feet of the door, 5 feet of the cash register.
That makes a
cannot
lot of sense.
Display alcohol.
Ew.
Also, it prohibits people who make alcohol from listing the names of retailers or restaurants that sell their products in advertising or newsletters. Have you found that to be true there?
Yeah.
Sancho?
So on the second one, I heard that as long as you mention 3 or more accounts, then you're okay. Like Firestone, buy it at
loophole. Okay.
The Golden Nugget and at, you know, wherever, I don't know, the Dugout and at fucking, let's see, Drafts, then it's all good. Go. I mentioned it at 3 places and we're good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go over to Connecticut. You cannot buy alcohol, any alcohol, after 9 p.m.
Ugh.
What?
Ever?
Get your drinking in early.
Are you fucking serious?
Also, you
what
can't buy it on
Puritan
Sundays.
What kind of Puritan bullshit is that?
That is...
Yeah.
That is top of the list Puritan bullshit, yeah. Sandro.
Kiss my ass, Connecticut.
It's like the Crucible.
Crucible? Right,
shit's scary, dude. It's a bunch
I
of
like
fucking
the Crushable
scary,
is what I
scary
like.
Scary-ass
like
white
crucible.
Folks.
So witch hunt.
That, dude. The Crushable.
District of Columbia, D.C., it's illegal to drink in bars and legal to walk around in bars. Wait, it's legal to drink in bars and legal to walk around in bars, but it's illegal to both drink and walk around in bars. Ooh. So don't carry your booze around.
But no, these, like, some of these are not enforced, right?
Don't walk and drink at the same time. Like, I'm walking and drinking.
And I actually want to know, I feel like Chelsea, 21st Amendment girl, might know more about that. Love to hear from you, Chelsea. Let us know what the situation is on that, because that seems really inconvenient.
Oh, actually, dude, you know what? We just heard she's in jail for drinking and walking.
For drinking and walking. That'll teach her.
Write us from jail.
We're going to have to wait on that interview, but we're rooting for you in there. Let us know if you need anything.
Also listed there.
Bail. Send bail money.
You can also not use anything related to religious holidays or symbols to promote a business, which includes promoting drinks by referring to Santa. What?
I didn't know where that was going, but that was funny.
Yeah. Oh, so you can't make, like, you know, Santa's pole shots at your local bar for Christmas Eve.
Never had a Santa's pole
shot. That is illegal in D.C.
Huh.
Let's head on down to Florida, America's Wang.
There's no rules in Florida.
It's really like, you know, there's a number of rules listed here, but I'm just kind of like, not really that, whatever. But there is one that seems oddly specific. State law permits diners to take a partly finished bottle of wine home with them. However, they may only do so if they've ordered and consumed a meal. And that meal must include an entree, a vegetable or salad, bread, and a beverage.
Sorry, you're
the
gonna
beverage
have to eat
isn't
this
wine.
Breadstick before you take that wine.
Yeah, different.
So
yeah,
you have to have water, a salad, some type of bread, and then you can take your unopened bottle of wine home.
Yeah,
perfect. Or your open
bottle,
unfinished.
Yeah.
Bottle
Oh, okay. You didn't eat your broccoli. I'm sorry, you cannot take that.
Sorry, that's
first
wine
off,
now.
Who the fuck is taking an open bottle of wine home? You're gonna drink.
You've
that
never
wine
done that before.
Dinner.
You know,
no,
I've only done that when
I've
it's been
that.
Super expensive.
I know where it's been, but I've
and
seen
it's
it.
Time to go.
I'll take it
home. But
or it's a second
really
one.
Happens.
It's a second one, and you're like, let's just
it ain't the first
it.
One.
Yeah, let's just take it.
All right,
definitely
not
the first one.
All right.
Nope, I've done it.
Okay.
In Hawaii, it's illegal to order more than one drink at a time. You can order one for your. You can't order one for your friend. And apparently you can't consume a drink on a beach in the state, which...
State
have you
of
guys
inebriation?
Been to Hawaii?
I've been to Hawaii like four times.
Were you able to drink on the beach?
I think so. Probably
I feel like
did.
That's something you'd remember doing. I mean, that'd be my point for going to Hawaii, is I want to lay on the beach with a drink of some sort.
Yeah,
I mean, I know at the Aulani, they have like... They're like cabanas, but I think they call them like casita bonas or something. And it's
so it's a resort.
It's a resort.
Private.
Yeah.
Maybe the resort you're
maybe
like,
not
maybe
like
it's
a
public
state beach. Like just here, you're not allowed to drink on a state beach either, but people do it.
Well, yeah. I think I did it this weekend. Thank you, Rudder Room.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, you guys went to the Rudder?
I did. Yeah.
I didn't get an invite to the Rudder. So.
Oh, I love the Rudder Room.
I thought of you when I circled. I went in there just for one quick Bloody Mary. And I went and put my toes in the water Sunday morning at like 10 a.m.
I love it.
And it was the same guy. I think the guy, like, I don't know if the guy sleeps. I think he's just always there. But he doesn't want to talk to you. He just wants to know what you want to drink. And he's going to make it and give it to you and give
no fucks. Hutch.
Is that what his name is?
Because
the guy just, like, you're like, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, what do you want? Like, he's got nothing to
It's probably
back.
The same guy that was there 13 years ago, and I dated this guy, like, in between my ex and Nick for, like, a few weeks, because that's how I roll. And, we used to go to the Rudder Room all the time, and there's, like, zero personality there. Zero.
Yeah, he's the
morning
guy.
I think
guy.
He was the guy that served us after the first surfing sets we went to.
Probably.
As well, like, yeah. Hey, fun fact, you know, fast forward, we ended up sponsoring that.
There you go.
Life
hilarious.
Works in mysterious ways.
It does.
Idaho. This one actually got me, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. So in Idaho, infused alcohol is illegal in Idaho.
Hmm.
That means both infusions and barrel-aged cocktails are unavailable.
What? Like,
that's garbage.
Yeah, what
Idaho,
is that?
Come on.
Also, side note, in Twin Falls, Idaho, You can buy a rifle on election day, but you cannot buy liquor.
You can't buy liquor on election day?
Yeah, but you can buy a gun. So good luck with that.
God, I feel like election day was when that was like most needed this year, no matter what side you're on, you know? Yeah, no matter what side you're on. I think everyone just felt like they needed a beverage.
That's rough. Illinois, no happy hour in Illinois. Good luck with that.
Whoa, well, they're not happy people then.
Clearly not. Iowa, an owner of a venue selling alcohol can't legally have a drink there after closing for business. This implies to all employees, so you cannot have an after shift drink if you work there. Also, you cannot open a tab in Iowa. Tabs are illegal. You have to pay for everything.
I love that law out of all the laws you said, dude. That is my favorite law ever.
Really?
Dude. Just like the Red Room. Fucking pay now and leave it alone. Just keep it going, dude. Pay it up, dude. Just go.
That's goddamn
nutty, though. It's so time consuming.
Love it. I would love to, if I had a business and I could run it like that, that'd be amazing. No tabs, just pay your shit. Bye.
Yeah. Well, that's Rudder Room.
I mean, yep, really, that's the road, dude. Right? But that dude owns that building.
Cash
though.
Only.
Yeah, cash only.
Is it still
no
cash
tabs.
Only?
Yep.
Cash only. Pay up cash now. Only. Get the fuck out.
No tabs.
Oh my God.
Love it.
All right. Let's go over to, where am I at here? Sorry, I lost track. Okay, so we're over to Maine. No drinking games in Maine. No beer pong, nothing. Bars cannot do it with you, so forget about it. Maine also prohibits alcohol sales before 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, except if it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
God bless that.
Jeez.
I like to make that exception.
That's not bad. I could deal with that.
I guess there's
but
a
you
lot
know what
of
though,
Irish
like,
up
on,
there.
In Maine, football... Like, if you're a football fan on the East Coast, it starts way earlier than it does out here. So,
Maine.
Be prepared.
Does Maine have a team?
No.
New England.
Probably the reason.
But they like football, though.
Like, Massachusetts and
they'd
Maine.
They'd probably be, like,
together,
New England
right?
fans, huh?
Yeah, that's why I said
because
New
England's like an area. It's like a region. All those states are really like New England, right?
Best known for Beantown, Boston, but still. It's like that whole area up there. Probably about the size of Fresno in California for those keeping track at home.
It doesn't start too early for them.
Well, I mean, if the first games are at 10, that's at 7 o'clock out there, right?
No, it's at 1.
Yeah, they're later. They start earlier here.
Hey, look, I went to UCSB. Don't ask me to math.
Well,
that's really complicated.
Yeah, in Hawaii, it's that way. Because when Nick and I were in Hawaii for a honeymoon, it was the start of Super Bowl. Start of football season. And we went to watch the games, and it started at 7 a.m.
So basically, they start drinking the same time we do out here. So, okay, that's, you know what? I'm going to let that one pass.
There you go.
That one works. I'll just wrap up with a few quick, interesting ones here. Let's see. In Missouri, it's illegal to sit on any street curb in St. Louis and drink beer from a bucket. So if that's on your list of things to do this summer.
It was on my bucket list, actually.
A bucket of beers is on your bucket list.
Damn
in Nebraska, bars can't sell beer unless they're also cooking a pot of soup.
What?
Ramen. I'd call it the ramen bar.
It just has one going in the back like
just
all the
always.
Time. Like, how dumb.
Just put it in the
New
front.
New York, this one I thought was actually surprising. In New York, you cannot use the word saloon in a bar's name. There was a guy named Michael O'Neill that opened O'Neill's Saloon, and the state liquor authority said, you're breaking the law. So he's like, well, fine. It's now O'Neill's Balloon. Come on in and have a drink.
What the
balloon?
Fuck.
North Dakota, you cannot have beer and pretzels at the same time in a bar and restaurant.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Like that's so.
They won't be making you thirsty there.
They go together. It just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap this up here real quick, dude. Is it Ohio? Oh, Ohio prohibits giving alcohol to a fish to the point of intoxication, so don't do that.
Well, that's another thing on my bucket list. Damn it.
Sorry, eating your goldfish
fuck,
liquor?
Man.
go try that in Michigan instead.
Hey, I give my goldfish Goldschlager. That's between me and him.
Makes those fish worth more, really, if you think about it.
It makes their scales gold and flecky.
And let's see. Anything else? Washington State, God bless them. It's a criminal act to destroy a beer bottle or a cask in Washington State. I get behind that.
Wow.
Bars are technically illegal if they don't serve food in West Virginia. And in Wyoming, it's illegal for a woman to stand within 5 feet of a bar while drinking.
What kind of bullshit is that?
Right? Yeah, this is the 21st goddamn century, and we got laws against women drinking 5 feet from the bar.
Yep.
That's
everyone, call up your local council person from there. And
look, all 20 people that live in Wyoming really need to get on board about changing that shit. Also illegal to be intoxicated in a mine if you're in Wyoming and to ski drunk.
A little behind the times there in Wyoming. You're just ruining my life right now.
Sorry, bro. You know, it's not what I wanted to do for you tonight, Sancho. I apologize, my friend.
But Sancho, you can ski high at Mountain High.
I was gonna call my friend and be like, "Hey, man, cancel that that vacation where we're gonna go drunk skiing into the mine."
That's, and then drink buckets of beer in St. Louis, yeah, man. Sorry, it ain't gonna happen.
We're gonna have to.
We're out.
We're gonna have to change the plans.
So, anyways, well, I hope none of those laws ruined your vacation there at home like they did Sancho's.
Yeah.
But we have reached the end of draft 91. Follow us online at boozeleague.com, at boozeleague, at Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/boozeleague. Follow Coley at ice_cole_beer_, and also follow me at Wiley Withers, the commish.
Hey, I'm on Twitter. I'm on, I'm not on Instagram anymore. I do like. But I'm on
Sancho's
Twitter.
On the tweets.
Yeah, I like looked it up because I gotta do something when I'm taking a shit. So yeah, I'm on Twitter now. So it's Dro805, but no underscore. So I don't know. I'm sure no one's gonna tweet me from here. But there you go,
that's a good Twitter handle.
Dro805 on the tweets. I've had it for a while. I just never used it. So yeah,
that's pretty good. You can also find him on DroneLyFans as well. We can mainly see him. Sweating
with
his
backwards G-string on.
His backwards G-string, sipping something from Firestone, I would guess. Whatever you're listening to us on right now, hit subscribe so you can keep up with us weekly. And we will all see you on draft 92. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cause baby, I feel real good, and I wish I would. It's gotta be against the law to look this damn good, baby. Everybody watch out. Last call for the monster hall. And don't forget to tip. The sun went down, but we still relate. The best.